Hey, everybody, I'm Jill.
And this is Mel.
And this is Mel and Jill Geek Out. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Jill. How's it going?
It's great. It's race day.
It is, and somebody did really well.
You did.
I literally swept all of like the weekly categories of success.
You did. I did. I didn't even know that that page existed. We use Grid Rival for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about. we're talking about F1. Mel and I have, or I guess I have a F1 fantasy league, and I've recruited a bunch of my friends into it, Mel included. Mm-hmm. And we use the app called Grid Rival. We don't use the F1 official fantasy app. So hashtag not sponsored. But anyway, you pointed out this amazing page that shows the weekly standings. Didn't know it existed. This is my second season using this app. So I didn't know, but that was really cool. And she swept it. And so did one of the other members.
Yes, I beat them ever so slightly because I had Yuki in my lineup as my star driver.
Oh no, that's not what I meant. I don't know if you noticed, like, so you took all the winning categories.
Oh, did Harambe 2024 take all the losing?
No, there was one. It's Hungry Like the Wolf.
They did not do so hot.
No, he lost everything. He lost all the categories. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
So that's okay.
But I'll take it. I have to, you know, swap out some people next week. I'm very sad. I'm losing Alonso. I only contracted him for 3 races.
I'm losing my whole team.
Yeah. So is John. He also did instructor
very well.
He sure did.
He did.
Maybe it's because I'm helping him slightly.
I can't wait to send a text to the group and tell them that I am no longer cursed, because if that was the case, Carlos Sainz would not have fucking won.
Nope.
Congratulations, Carlos.
When I told my brother that I had swept all the categories this week in my F1 fantasy league, he's like, so it was you. You cursed Hamilton and Verstappen.
Oh, my gosh. It was. So I made the mistake. My immediate thing in the morning when I wake up is to scroll Facebook a little bit, scroll Instagram a little bit. And I made that mistake. I completely forgot not to look. And not only did I, so the first thing I saw was that Max DNF'd. That was the first thing I saw. And I was like, yes. I was pissed that I like ruined it, but I was excited because I was like, this is going to be a good race.
It means someone else won.
Yes, it means someone else won. And then I scrolled a little bit longer because I was like, well, I mean, I don't care at this point of like, I know it's going to be a good race. And then I saw that Carlos won. So I was really fucking excited about that. And then I saw Russell's accident. But I did not see that Hamilton DNF'd as well. So that came as a surprise. It was a great race to watch.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that, like, if I had a nickel for every time Carlos and Lando were both on the podium and Russell crashed in the last lap of the race, I would have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
It was so good. It was great. I mean, I hate that for Russell. Also, for those who didn't see it, he crashed and the tire stays attached, which it's designed to do that, but it caused the car to kind of tilt. Mm-hmm. But it was also literally in the middle of the track. And they released it later. They didn't play it on the live feed, but I've seen clips. He immediately was like screaming red flag, red flag, mm-hmm. red flag. Like I'm in the middle of the track. Red flag means stop. Hopefully if you're listening to this episode, you know what we're talking about. But
yeah,
can you imagine? Cause he knew, cause there was a giant plume of smoke and dust, and knowing that people are coming around that fucking corner at 100 and something miles an hour and you're in the middle of it. That's, mm-hmm. that's happened before. It got caught on camera. Like I was nervous to watch it. Mm-hmm. Because initially, yeah. I didn't think it was that big of a crash. But then I was like, holy shit. It wasn't a big crash. It was just like where he landed that was terrifying.
Yeah, not great. Fortunately, it was the last lap. FIA was a little slow in calling the red flag.
Yeah.
But it was the very last lap. So fortunately, like, there wasn't any additional incidences. George is fine.
Yeah.
Like,
the people on the... I heard the, like... engineers on the radio to the other drivers telling him slow down, he's in the middle of the track. So mm-hmm. they were immediately on it telling them so, yeah. And they slowed down and went around him, but still that had to be fucking scary. So
oh yeah, because he's just a sitting duck at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he can't do anything, he can't get out of the way. And they're not going to pull a safety vehicle out until they can do so safely. Like,
yeah, it was crazy. It was yeah, crazy. So
it's crazy that both Hammy and Max had engine problems.
Right.
And
three DNFs.
Yeah.
Three DNFs. There was a fourth driver who was out. So only 16 drivers finished.
Yeah. We have to talk about the Alex Albon, Logan Sargeant moment situation.
Okay. So for those who don't know, you should. But also, Logan Sargeant did not crash his car. I totally misread the headline when I first saw this. I was very confused. Albon, I don't even know what happened. I didn't watch the practices or the quali or anything. He damaged the chassis of his car. Mm-hmm. There was a giant hole in it.
He wrecked his car.
Okay. See, I didn't.
Like it was a wreck.
Okay. I didn't see it. They just said, I just knew it had to, they damaged the chassis. They couldn't fix it and they didn't bring another one with them. So there was one good Williams car. And it was Logan's, and Williams was like, no, Alex is going to drive that one. You going to sit this out, Logan.
Yeah. And Max had a very interesting statement about it. He's like, if it had been me, I would have been on my on the plane ride home. Like, I wouldn't have stayed at the race. I would have left. Like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, it was. But Max can do that.
I don't think Logan can.
No, Logan can't. Because if it was Max when he was first starting out on the grid, I doubt he'd have been able to get away with it then.
Yeah, but like this is what Alex's or Max's first DNF in like 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, it was great too because he had the potential to break a record and didn't. So it was great. I was also a little bummed for Alonso. I hope Alonso gets a podium this year. I don't think he'll win. I don't think Aston Martin is fast enough. But I hope he gets a podium because 20 years ago, this season was the first time he won in Formula yeah. One. So it would be very fucking cool
if he got another podium
and maybe a win, who knows, maybe the entire,
I don't know if the Aston Martin's fast enough. They're not, honestly. But maybe I think that's going to be the biggest chance,
you know, big chunk of the top grid will get in a big crash.
Not that we want anyone to crash. But yeah, but it was also kind of sort of Alonso's fault that George Russell crashed.
So yes and no. I heard he was also having mechanical issues from my understanding. So it wasn't that Alonso slowed the car down. The car slowed down.
Yeah, but he still got a penalty for it.
Oh, yeah. A big one.
Mm-hmm.
A big one. A 20-second penalty. That's like.
Yeah, he still finished top 10.
I know. But you know what? I was so excited because Ferrari looked fucking fast. Like they were, Carlos wasn't far off of Max. I know it was like very early on in the race.
No, but like he, with DRS, he zoomed right by Max.
Yeah.
Like
it was great.
It was going to be potentially a very good race.
Yeah.
Before Max had issues.
Yeah. Which I don't know if it's an engine.
All I heard was that the brakes were literally on fire.
They were. But it, I don't know exactly, but it was just the back right that was on fire. So I don't know if something got stuck or there was a lockup, or, but it, I don't think it was the engine and I don't think it was the power unit. So at the moment he's okay, but he better fucking hope he doesn't have to go through another power unit, 'cause that's his last one. And if he has to take another one, he gets a penalty. So we'll see. I enjoyed the race today. I thought it was good. It was great. Even though I knew a few things were going to happen, I didn't know any like context around it. So I was still very excited. And can I just say, like, Carlos, this is now he's the only other driver who has been able to keep Max from fucking winning. And it's him. Not anybody else. It's him. And it blows my mind that this man doesn't have a seat next year.
I know. I think once silly season hits, that is going to change. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe like Merck picks him up.
I don't know if he would go to Merck because they're just not where they need to be.
Yeah, but
Hamilton's car just fucking shut off.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. Like, 'cause usually you'll get, like, you'll see the screen on their steering wheels and it'll flash or say error or something. That motherfucker shut off. I was like, oh, God damn.
Yeah. It's not great, but I would be shocked if no one wants to contract Carlos.
I told Mark, I was like, it looks like Ferrari may have backed the wrong horse there, bud. I don't think he is like a hardcore Leclerc stan, so I don't think he buys that. But I think Carlos is a better driver.
Same.
Hot take. I do. But what do I know? Oh, one last little spiel and then we will jump into episode 3. I was taking notes, I was reviewing for the pod, and my oldest came in, she's 15, and I was like, ooh, this was the Alpine episode. And I was like, you need to come watch this. And I was like, you see this guy? She's like, yeah. And it was Pierre Gasly. She's like, ooh, he's cute. And who else was it? Who was the other
Esty Bestie?
Esty Bestie. She said Ocon was cute. I showed her Lando Norris the other day, last night, and she said he was cute as well. I told her, I was like, ooh, Lewis Hamilton is good one too. And she agreed, but does not like the hairstyles. So I don't.
Yeah.
I was like, that's changeable. So
yeah.
I was like, the man is not only a epic F1 driver, he's attractive as fuck, and he also is into fashion, so like, and
I mean,
a huge proponent of women and minorities, like all the boxes.
Yeah, he's delightful. I mean, Zhou Guanyu is also our next little fashionista.
Zhou?
Yes, Zhou.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really follow him.
You should look up his, like, he is like not obviously the same style as Lewis, but no, he's very into fashion. Like, he models in the downtime.
Interesting.
Very into fashion.
I would have thought Pierre would have been.
See, I don't think Pierre's that good looking.
Oh, girl, you're wrong. Now, he's doing this weird thing with a beard. Right.
Oh,
now,
I hate it.
It's terrible.
I don't like Charles's facial hair either. Yeah,
or Lando's. This like weird.
Lando's. I don't mind. No. He looks like a pirate. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Does Lando not look like Orlando Bloom from Pirates of the Caribbean?
Do you want to know what I think he looks like? Hair. He reminds me of a teenage boy who's trying to grow facial hair and it's not filling in. That's what it reminds me of. So I'm like, but I don't love this weird patchy goatee look that they're all doing. Please stop.
But no, I mean, but not everyone can be as cool as like Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah. But that man needs to revisit his leg day routine, like so badly.
You know, I'm just here for the giggles.
He's so entertaining. He really is. But
I adore him. I wish he was in a better car.
Me too. Me too. It's so disappointing. Like, he's a good driver.
He was so good at Mercedes.
Yeah, he got fucked over because I don't think there was anywhere for him to really go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But anyway, are you ready to get into the episode?
Let's talk about episode 3 of season 6 of Drive to Survive.
Under pressure.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
So, we're going to focus a lot on McLaren this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we open at their headquarters. They're discussing the bad PR look that they had when Danny left. And I will echo that sentiment. They looked real bad. People were not happy.
Well, Danny has like this cult, not even cult, like insane following. People love Danny because of who he is, not because of the team he's driving for.
Correct. And then Zach at the time was kind of embracing the villain role a bit. And I think it made it worse because it just like people really shit on Zach Brown, myself included. I did not really like him. Actually, I think I said I hated him. I thought he was an asshole. But I will say recently, like with things in the news and some shades coming out, like I'm changing my opinion. Zach Brown is okay in my book.
Okay, but a broken watch is still right twice a day. So I'm gonna hold off.
There are other things like we can talk about offline, like because you and I, if we start this, we will rabbit hole the fuck out of it. So
yes,
we're not going to go in there.
I'm not. This is not a Zach Brown stan account over here, but
I didn't say stan. I said he's okay in my book. That's like we're back to neutral. Okay. We're back to neutral.
I would say I'm like, if the X axis is neutral, I'm like -1 on Zach Brown.
I like your, That's a interesting like analogy. It's perfect because I can visualize that, you know, with insane accuracy in my head, but weird one to take. All right. So, yes. Okay. Bad PR look. And then we see the internal car launch, which I'm fairly certain was just for Netflix because
there's like no one there.
There was nobody there or anything like that. And then we get the introduction to the new Aussie on the team, Oscar Piastri, who is 22. And I gotta say, I really like Oscar.
He's a literal child, but like one I want to like pinch his cheek.
He's so funny, too. Like, him and Liam Lawson have some phenomenal one-liners. I like them both. They're great. So then we get a little clip of Lando talking about how this is the first time he's going to be the senior driver. And he's been the baby for a very long time.
Not just in the face.
No, like he's been the second driver for a while. But I will say Zach Brown has like a weird hard on for Lando. Like, just
the way that Christian Horner has a weird hard on for Danny Ricciardo.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. I don't know. I don't feel like the other ones have that.
Yeah, I don't really feel like Toto Wolff whether it was Hamilton and Bottas or Hamilton and Russell, has really preferred one over the other.
Yeah. I think Toto and Lewis were close for a long time, mm-hmm. but even Lewis said that George and Toto have like a very close relationship. So that's been interesting. I don't see that like mm-hmm. in the media and stuff, but apparently that's the case. So they also talk about how they're not expecting to be competitive until mid-season, which isn't a great start. It puts you way behind.
Mm-hmm.
So jump to Bahrain. We're at the opening season. Doesn't go well, like at all. Oscar has to retire the car. Lando had to box five times.
That's too much.
I almost would have retired the car. I don't know why they did. I mean, like, I'm not a strategist, so I don't claim to understand why they would do that. But genuinely, part of me would be like, what the fuck? I would just.
I mean, I'm sure all the people who had him in their fantasy leagues are happy he didn't retire, because you earn 0 points if they retire.
I guess that's true. So then we see Danica again. All I wrote was gross, so I don't even know what she said.
Probably nothing relevant.
Or very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So she's they also say the car has similar limitations to the previous season.
Mm-hmm.
Jeddah, race two, last in the Constructor Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Not well. Then we go to Miami, race five.
Oh, you missed a big piece.
What did I miss?
Well, Bill Buxton comes on.
Will Buxton.
And he talks of whatever. He comes on and I just wrote Buxton. Give me a break. He came on and he's like, there's concern about like the drivers not staying at McLaren if McLaren can't get their shit together.
Oh, fair.
And Red Bull comes on and be like, we would love to take Lando.
Yeah, I did write Red Bull would like to snap Lando up, but I forget that not everybody remembers the context. So I forgot to write it down. Yes, there was lots of little rumors that Lando, who everyone agrees is a great driver, was not happy with McLaren and mm-hmm. would rightfully so, because
it read all over his face.
Yes.
Like when they had that whole scene where he gets on the private plane, you could tell he's just like, I don't know, honestly, how long I want to be at McLaren.
Yeah.
If it's going to continue like this.
And he gives us a little insight later on, like shortly after Miami, mm-hmm. which Miami again, like, it probably feels like to the rest of the world. Words are hard. The rest of the world, that this is such an American spectacle. And it was the previous season when it came out, and it will be again with Vegas, I'm sure. I don't know. It's weird. I don't feel like the other races are like that. It's just bizarre. I don't know. It's like the Super Bowl. It's like they make it into the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that to me feels weird, because it's not like that in the other races. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not just like your standard race. They make it a bigger deal.
Yes.
Which I guess would have made sense when it was like just Austin. Like, this is the only U.S. Grand Prix. But now that there's three.
But even Austin doesn't do that.
I mean, Austin leans more Texas versus like straight up U.S.
But that's okay, I feel like. Also, people love that. Like, because yeah. Danny gets super into it. People follow. Like, I'm not joking. Like, apparently he's like unofficially adopted by Texas. So.
Correct.
Yeah. Like,
he was on the U.S. Grand Prix posters. So they had like Logan, like, I don't remember who the other two were, but he's like the honorary Texan on it. Just like in Australia for this Australian Grand Prix, they had Danny and Oscar, because they're right. Australian, and then they added bodice.
Exactly. Yeah.
To be fair, bodice does live in Australia.
Yes, so. He does. His wife is Australian, and he emigrated there. But what I mean is, like, Miami, though, it's like, I don't see Austin as Super Bowl. I see it as, like, not grossly overdone.
It's let's make a Grand Prix, but add some Longhorns into it.
Kind of. That's about it.
Here's some cowboy boots.
Exactly. But no, Miami is just like fireworks and celebrities and blah. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, that's kind of how Miami is like a city, because like other than that, it's just like women in bikinis on the beach. Like,
I guess I would have expected more of that from Vegas. Which
I don't know.
Anyway, we're talking about something super not important. But
any whooms.
Yes. Also, Horner, as you mentioned, like, Red Bull would like to snap Lando up, and Horner, I think, would in a heartbeat.
Oh.
He would drop Checo so fast. So fast. And then Lando, yeah. I believe they're doing like a PR brief for the drivers and Zach and stuff. And then we get, you know, a talking head from Lando, and he's chatting about how it's rare for drivers to stay at one team for a really long time. And I feel like this is Lando, like, putting the smoke signals out there, like
that he will not be loyal to McLaren forever.
Yeah. But also that I could be swayed to move. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sooner than you would think, kind of. So,
yeah, there's not a lot of Mick Schumachers and Lewis Hamiltons of the world who drive for the same team for a really long time.
Yeah.
Because how long has Hamilton been at Mercedes? Like,
a long time.
Like, he's won 7 championships and he won 6 of them with Mercedes.
Yeah. I guess it's dependent upon how you look at it, because Lando, I want to say, went through McLaren's driving school and shit. And so did, same thing with Hamilton. He went through Mercedes driving school and stuff. So if you want to count it that way, they've been with these companies since they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so then we see like them going golfing. This was the most awkward fucking conversation to me. I thought it was so clear that Zach was groveling for Lando to not leave.
Yeah, and that's because, unlike the Mercedes of the world, McLaren has built their team around Lando.
Yes.
Even when Danny was there, it was all about Lando.
Oh, 100%.
And so if Lando leaves, they're fucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they don't have anybody good enough to replace him that they could probably afford. Because I bet they are going to have to pay a pretty penny to keep him. Because they know how good he is.
Yeah. And he can walk into Ferrari. He could walk into Red Bull. He could walk into Mercedes and be like, would you like me as your driver?
Yeah.
And have people fawning at his feet.
Yeah. Especially now that Hamilton has left.
Mm-hmm.
So, or is leaving.
Yeah.
So then the race was bad.
Yeah.
P17 and P19. I don't know which one was which, but it doesn't really matter because it was that bad. And I said, Lando can win. He's just not in the right car. He's good enough.
Yeah.
He's good enough to win. He's just not in the right car. Here we get to the private jet scene. Lando and George are on the private jet together with George's god awful hair. Like, I don't understand. These men have so much money. You should not look like this. Then we get a little tea on the Williams contract that there is no drinking on the weekends.
On race weekends.
Yeah. Wait, no. Was it race weekends?
That was my understanding, was race weekends. You couldn't drink.
Oh. I thought it was weekends.
Yeah.
Because
race weekends make sense.
Yeah, race.
But don't get hung over and then get into an F1 car, you schmuck.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, I would assume that none of them would. That's why I was like, there's no way.
I wouldn't assume that.
I don't know.
No, race car drivers are
during the season is what I'm saying. Like off season, I'm sure they don't care, but.
I think your lack of experience being around race car drivers is showing. Mind you, my dad is an older guy, but when he used to boat race, they would all like drive out, do qualifying, go out and party and drink that night. And then they had the race the next day. And my dad's like, the tip was you became buddies with the AMTs and they would give you oxygen in the morning so you could get over your hangover faster.
Oxygen and
before
an IV.
You got in your boat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Yep. So that is the kind of vibe.
Either way, it's wild to me that it's in the contract for, I guess, I don't know.
Not wild in my opinion.
But I guess George was like, well, I know some Williams drivers who drink anyways. So such a narc move, though.
Honestly, like, I don't like dislike George, but it doesn't surprise me that he's a narc.
I like him. I also think he's a good driver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's good enough to be like Lewis Hamilton, but anyway, moving on. So mm-hmm. then we get a nice little Lando montage from karting all the way to F1. And like we said, Zach and Lando go way back. But Lando wants to win. And I think he's willing to leave if it means he wins. So Zach is getting some sponsorship pressure, which, again, is highly uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, yeah. Him trying to, like, dido around the why does the car suck conversation.
Yeah. And it's so funny. It's like it was like a movie to me to see how nervous Zach Brown was. It was weird. And I do like how his like boss, because he was like mm-hmm. chatting with a bunch of people, like with the sponsors. And then he had his like another conversation with his like boss. And he was like, what happens if the upgrades don't work? Mm-hmm. Straight out asks him. And Zach's like, we'll have upset drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. So then we see Claire. And I feel she has a great perspective because she's literally been in these shoes.
She sure has.
So she says, when you're team boss and you're not scoring points, the pressure is immense. And this is a defining moment for Zach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure for sure. I honestly think Zach handles it with some grace.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a sycophant when it comes to Lando.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they're in a really challenging position because they're having to coach the drivers through not continuing the rumors and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, he's between a rock and a hard place.
He is. I do love getting a glimpse of the PR briefs that they have. It's very much like, shut the fuck up in the nicest way possible.
Like, don't talk about it. I, as a person who has to do those kinds of briefs, they are so fun. So fun.
It was highly entertaining to me. Highly entertaining.
I would watch a show just about the PR briefs.
I would. Netflix. Here's an idea for when Drive to Survive eventually comes to an end. Switch it to the behind the scenes staff, because I bet mm-hmm. you that shit's juicy. They I mean, they get paid all right. You would think they get paid a lot of money, but like they're just being flown around by their employers. So, you know, like they don't like, can you imagine driving, like flying around the world with these fucking millionaires, billionaires getting to go to all these crazy ass places, you know, and presumably you're friends with the drivers. Like, you know him, like you see him every fucking day. Like, can you imagine? I bet it's fascinating. That would be fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know they stay in pretty good hotels when they fly in.
Yes, so. You do. So then we go to Silverstone.
This is when they have all of those
upgrades. Yep.
Ready to go.
So qualifying, car looks promising. Gets P2. So we'll see. So the race is the real test. Lando begins to lead. Max eventually pulls ahead. But ultimately, he gets P2. And wait.
Yeah, Lando gets P2. Oscar gets P4.
Thank you. I wrote Lando twice on my notes somehow.
You sure did, but that's okay because I wrote it down on my notes.
I was like, wait a second. No,
Oscar also started P3, so it was Max, Lando, Piastri.
Yeah,
they to start the race.
They which did is a phenomenal. Big deal. Yeah, they from where they were, you know, earlier, like we mentioned, P17, P19, it's like abysmal up to P2 and P4.
Alpine will make the same kind of shift mid-season.
You mean this season for 2024?
Yeah.
I'll say this, mm-hmm. They looked a lot better today than they did earlier in the season. Gasly was up to like 6th at one point. So anyway, upgrades came through. Hamilton even said McLaren is a rocket ship. Zach said they earned it the hard way. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Lando said he still wants to win an F1 race. He knows his time will come. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. I also root for Lando winning his first F1 race.
Yeah.
I think it's only a matter of time.
I'm sure he will. I just don't like until 2026, I don't know if it'll happen.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So now we're going to move on to episode 4, the last chapter. So this is a lot about Gunther and Haas. So Melissa, I expect you to have a lot of feelings.
I'm already in my field.
I bet you
just
are.
Like, with the last chapter being the episode title. I just love Gunther, but this is like, this episode was hard to watch.
So Gunther is back.
When is he not?
Fan favorite. Well, he won't be next season.
Shut up. I don't want you to think about it. They should just like interview him anyway.
I was going
to
say, I bet you they do. At minimum, at minimum, you'll get like a talking head at the beginning of the season. But I bet we get a glimpse because he fucking interviewed Carlos Sainz. And this is an epic win on DTS, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I feel like next DTS season, they're going to have like a whole episode just to cover all of the preseason shenanigans.
For real.
That have gone on.
For real. So I loved his quote. He has the best quotes. And I'm going to say the exact wording. Thank fuck the season's over.
Yep. They had a shit 2022 season.
And 2023. Both of them. Yeah, real bad. He says they've had some difficult years at Haas. He's reading his book.
I want to read his book. I had no idea he had a book.
I didn't either. And he's doing the audio, like he's reading the book. He talks about how he also talks about in this little like tidbit about how he wasn't really a drinker. But then last season he really, what did he say? He said he needed it on a fucking drip. Ooh. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be further along this year and kind of implies that he would look for another job. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Like, he was clearly not happy. But do you think this was recorded? Mike, he didn't leave until right before the season. Like,
I think Gunther has a lot of loyalty to the people who work on these teams and to the drivers. And I think that is the thing that kept him grappling with that decision more than anything else.
Right. But like, he's hinting at it here.
He is. I think he's very, and I wrote this like as a note later in my notes of, I think he's really over fucking Gene. Gene Haas is driving him nuts. And he's like,
it's not worth it.
This isn't worth it to me anymore. Like, this isn't.
Well, and it's a fair assessment, like, as well, because Gene is notoriously cheap. He doesn't want to put any money in the fucking team, but he wants them to win. It's like, you can't have it both ways, man. You want a faster car, you're going to have to spend more fucking money. And he doesn't want to do it.
I'm going to have a hot take. I'd rather see Haas get pulled off the grid for Andretti.
Same. Like, I honestly think that he should, Gene should sell to Andretti.
Yeah. He needs to just get the fuck out of F1.
It was unfair, in my opinion. But anyway. So, we're going to jump to Jeddah. He says he's done with rookies and they brought on Nico Hülkenberg.
Yes.
And my next bullet point says, Nico, what the fuck with the hair?
At least it's gone now.
It's gone now, but like, it was piss yellow. This is like, buy some toner.
I just wrote, the hair is bad.
It is. It's bad. It's bad. So for those who don't know, Nico and Hülkenberg, not really friends.
You mean Nico and K-Mag? Because I would think that Nico is a friend to himself.
Yes, that's what I meant. Nico and K-Mag are not really friends. And this goes way back. There was an incident in a race. I believe Kevin was being interviewed by some, like, on live TV. And they had a tussle on the grid. And Nico comes over and says something about him being like a rude driver or something like that. And Kevin Magnussen goes, suck my balls.
Yeah. But to be fair, it has been a long time.
It has.
Since that incident happened.
Yes.
Also, race car drivers are just inherently hot-headed humans. And I believe them when they say that they have moved on.
I agree.
And there's not really any tension between them.
I agree. It doesn't look like it. Now, we'll see later on a different team, some drivers who have some history. I don't know if I would agree with them. Mm-hmm. But for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean Pierre and Ocon?
Yes. That's who I mean. That's who I mean.
And then this is when that Gene phone call happens. Yes. He's like, I want to be at the top of the grid, but I'm not going to give you any fucking money to do so.
Yeah, it's bullshit. We've already talked about that. And Claire says things can spiral quickly. And she knows this again, because Williams was the only other team to finish last more in recent years than Haas. So she gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Williams has been on the struggle bus, too.
Mm-hmm. So then we're going to jump to Williams and the new team principal, James Vowles.
Do you want to know what my note is about him?
What?
He looks like a discount Toto Wolff.
Oh, shit. He kind of does. Not as good a hair, though.
No, this is why I'm saying he's the discounted version.
I know. I'm just saying. Toto Wolff. Like, body type nails it, but the hair, yeah.
The head shape.
Oh, yeah, it does. Like, the way he stands, too. Well, I mean, it makes sense because he
used to work for Mercedes.
He used to work for Merck. So he's also 44 and the youngest team principal, which Can you imagine being a team principal at 44?
I don't know. Sounds stressful.
Yes. I asked Mark the other day, I was like, do you think they all have ulcers? Because I can just, the stress, I don't know if I could handle it.
This is why they're all so fit. They work out a lot to relieve the stress.
Some of them.
Well, okay. What's his nuts at Ferrari is not exactly in the best of shape.
Fred Vasseur.
Yeah. Toad Man.
Toad Man. That's mean.
He seems like a genuinely nice person. Doesn't mean he doesn't look like a toad.
He does look like a toad. But anyway, I wrote abysmal intros, but I don't know why I wrote that.
Because he has the personality of a saltine cracker.
He does. He does. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but it doesn't really telegraph across the screen.
He is an engineer. He has an engineering background. He's a data guy.
Oh, 1,000%.
He's not charming. He's not outgoing. He's not any of those things.
I mean this in the nicest way possible. I live and grew up in an area where there's a lot of fucking engineers around here. You can spot them a mile away. Like they all have very similar personalities. It's yeah. Meticulous.
Lovers of Patagonia. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't know. Not the ones that I'm
it's
thinking
too
of.
Warm in Florida for them to be wearing Patagonia. But.
Yeah, no, they're usually in some sort of Hawaiian shirt type deal or collared shirt and some khaki shorts.
Do they have like the overwashed polo shirt, like short sleeve polo shirt?
Oh, yeah.
That's like a little faded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they're off time as well. They're like, I mean, obviously they're wearing other things at work, but like they'll throw in some flip flops too. Like, now, granted, at the moment, most of my engineer interaction is with retired engineers. So it's a little bit different than this guy. Apparently, yeah. He is a brilliant engineer and was responsible for a lot of Mercedes' success.
Yeah. And it seems like Toto is kind of mentoring him, too.
Yes. Yes. Which I like to see. I do.
Yeah. Same.
Albon, again, what the fuck with the hair?
Thankfully, it is gone, too.
Yes. Thank God. And then we meet Logan Sargent, who is an American.
He's a rookie.
Yes. He's also bad. By the way,
I feel like Logan Sargent looks like if you asked an AI image generator what an American looked like, that is what would spit out.
1,000%. Absolutely. He's not a bad looking dude.
He's just so generic.
Yeah. Just I don't know. I'm trying to picture him in my head. Like if you put him up against the drivers in the grid, I'd be able to pick him out. But like. Put him in a frat house? Nope. Lost in the crowd. Mm-hmm. So then we get another Toto cappuccino and pumpernickel moment.
He is so particular, but I kind of love it. He's just like, I want this.
I love the way he says it.
I want my cappuccino and I want my pumpernickel bread, please. Thank you.
It's one of those words that's fun to say, and it's so fun to hear his accent with it. It's great. He also says that James is one of the most intelligent people he's worked with, but you have to manage people. And boy, is that true, because people who are often good with numbers and data are not always good with people. And that's probably one of the most important parts of being a team principal.
Being good with people, for sure. You got to keep a lot of people happy. I don't know. I have high hopes for Vowels. Like, I'm willing to see where this goes. He seems like a decent human. I love a data-driven strategy.
Yeah.
But I do think the show is intentionally setting up Haas and Williams to be foils of each other.
I will say Netflix tends to exaggerate these rivals that you see. Like, sometimes they're entirely orchestrated. Like, it's very clear that off the TV show, it wasn't that big of a deal, but they make it a big deal. And
I didn't read that they were like extreme rivals, but no. I'm like, they're telling these two stories about what's going on with Haas and Gunther and the introduction of Vals and what's going on at Williams simultaneously to kind of paint the picture between like old school F1 leadership and new school F1 leadership. And going on in all of that. That's kind of what I got.
I will say this. Gunther and Vowels seem to have this similar mindset of like, this is kind of a family, like they work together with these people. So I like that. But I also see it's the juxtaposition of someone leaving F1 and someone coming in. He's not coming into F1, but like
stepping into that new role.
Yeah. Gunther is leaving the team principal role and James is coming into the team principal role. And they,
it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting storytelling to put those two stories up against each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kudos to Netflix editing. I think this is a really compelling episode because of that.
I agree. So we're going to go to race day. By the way, we're still in Miami, I think.
I think we are in Miami.
I don't know.
We're somewhere. I did not write it down.
Williams doesn't do great. Albon has to retire the car. Kevin gets P10. He's in the points.
Points. That's a big deal.
It is. For these cars.
At the bottom of the grid.
And Nico.
Points is excellent.
Nico was just off the points. He was 12th. So he was like right there. They're solidly kind of in the middle. Sargent, P16. Spoiler alert, he kind of lives in this area, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Like, if he finishes the race.
Yeah, if he finishes the race. He's not as bad as some of the other ones, though. So then we get a montage of Haas doing better than Williams. Williams is now in last place and Haas is 7th. So that's a improvement. Gunther is in London for a book release and wants Netflix to keep the drama away, which, come on now.
Never going to happen.
So at the Canadian GP is when Williams is bringing their upgrades. And then I don't know what he said, but I wrote Will Buxton is captain obvious.
He said something that I think this is when he said that Haas is
spoon to a knife fight. Also, it was a great line that should end up on a t-shirt.
It was a really good line that Haas, like, if asked to go to a gunfight, they show up with a spoon.
It was an accurate
description of what goes on with like how little funding Haas gets in comparison to everyone else.
Yes, very, very true, but still obvious that it was funny. So at the race, Nico goes off the track. Kevin DNFs. Albon finishes P7. Haas needs to do better. And then we have a montage of Haas fuck ups.
Yeah.
Oh, this is where the spoon to the gunfight
occurs.
Yes.
All I wrote was fucking DeVries. And I'm assuming he took out K-Mag or someone else.
I don't remember.
We were hoping to do well.
I dislike him so much. I don't.
Well, he's not on the grid anymore.
I know.
So.
I feel like he is. I don't know if he's one of those. I didn't like him when I watched the season. But I also I have a very visceral reaction to him. I don't like him at all. I don't like him on the screen. I don't want to hear your voice. You're annoying and rude.
All because he was mean to Yuki.
Yes. Yuki is phenomenal.
Don't mess with Yuki.
Yeah. Like, fuck off. Pick on somebody your own size.
Because no offense to Yuki, no one is his size.
No. He's miniature. and put him in your pocket.
He's fun size.
To be fair, I think Alonso is actually relatively short as well. So
a lot of them are pretty small.
They are.
It's like beneficial in racing or something to be a short king.
Yes. Yes. So then we get a Williams montage of them doing well.
Yeah.
So then Gunther says he's done with the shit and Haas just continues to drop in the points.
Mm-hmm.
We get to Mexico City. Kevin has a rear left failure and he DNFs. Williams does great. Haas does not.
Yeah, they're just, the car is shit.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. Because, again, he has decent drivers. He could be up there if the car was better.
And mind you, in Mexico is when they were supposed to have some great upgrades to the car. Exactly. And they worked out not at all.
Not at all. Not at all. And so then we end the episode with Gunther questioning whether or not he wants to continue.
Yeah.
And then he visits Binotto in Italy. And then like they're again continuing to talk about this, about mm-hmm. life on the other side of F1. And I wrote in all caps, give them their own show.
I would watch a Gunther Binotto show all day long.
Dude, let him drive around Italy. Wine tasting.
Drink some wine.
And just chat.
Food. Jibber jabbering. Yes. But it's nice to see that Binotto has sort of settled into life after F1. And I think it's attractive to Gunther. Gunther's not a young man. Like, no. I think he's ready to be happy.
I agree.
The Gunther we all fell in love with, you know, way back at the beginning of Drive to Survive, he's not there right now.
No.
He's so miserable.
And Binotto looks a lot less old.
He looks a lot lighter.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Less, not as heavy or miserable. So. Oh.
Yeah. And I can't blame Gunther for being over Gene's shit.
Mm-mm.
Because, like, you get little clips of the audio when he has to call Gene at these races, and Gene's just a dick.
He's an asshole, for sure. Yeah, and he gets ugly a little mm-hmm. in the press as well, so I don't know. But that's where we're going to leave you today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was very exciting. Any final thoughts about these two episodes?
Not really. I'm excited to see where the rest of the season goes. I want to see how they end it with Gunther.
I know. I haven't watched the very last episode yet of the season because I'm like a little heartbroken to do so. Because like, is it going to be a farewell like what we got with Danny last season?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can handle it.
See, but that's my thing. It's like, are they going to handle it this season or are they going to handle it the following season?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like they would have to address it. Maybe not. I don't know.
They're going to have to address it. It's like whether it's at the end of this season or the beginning of next season. But the beginning of next season does make more sense because you can make a complete episode about that. The Christian Horner situation, the Susie Wolf situation, and then Lewis Hamilton leaving for Ferrari.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see that Susie Wolf filed criminal charges in France?
In France against the FIA.
Yep. Rightfully so.
And I think the only driver who said anything about it was Lewis Hamilton.
Yep. Yep. He is very quickly becoming my favorite driver. He's a great person. So. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Anyways, I will be very sad if this is truly our last Gunther centric episode.
We shall see.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. If you want to check out what is coming up next on the pod, be sure to give us a follow over on Instagram. It's Mel and Jill Geek Out. Or if you have a suggestion of what we can geek out about next, shoot us an email over at jillandmelgeekout@gmail.com. again, my name is Melissa
and I'm Jill,
and this has been Mel and Jill Geek Out. Bye guys.
Bye guys. Bye.